Grant your peace, my Lord and Savior, Christ. Amen. I know I've used this introduction of the Bible study before, so we've been there, sorry for the repeat, but it's too good of an introduction to what our text today talks about. It comes from a relatively recent movie called Fury. Brad Pitt plays the World War II tank commander. Gio Luke plays the Bible Belt preacher member of the tank's crew. The scene that I'm thinking about is between John Bernthal's backwoods yokel member of the tank crew and the new crew. In one of the early scenes, the crew loses a member in fighting. They have to get a new one when they pull the tank into the pit stop. The colonel, don't hold me to that rank as I'm pulling from my memory, but as he's walking along the pit, grabs another guy out of the line and says, "Here's your new crewman." The guy is just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he says, "Meet him," and then he walks away, and that's who he's got. And now he ends up being this 21-year-old Northeastern college grad who, as he keeps trying to tell everybody, "I'm just a typist," while he's carrying a typewriter. Now, Pitt eventually takes the typewriter, throws it into the ground, and says, "Not anymore." And the rest of the crew is grouped together for most of the war, gets to know him. Bernthal, doing his best Bernthal on fire impersonation, asks the guy, "Have you been born again?" To the great pleasure of the preacher. And the Episcopalian new guy stammers a bit and eventually replies, "Well, I've been baptized." He might have even used the fancy word christened. And Bernthal's yokel says back to him, "Now that ain't the same thing now, is it?" To the tank preacher's amen corner. I honestly didn't know there was anybody left in Hollywood capable of writing a scene with theological insight and tension. But at the risk of placing myself under the wonder of Jesus, that am I the teacher of Israel, that scene captures the reality of two things that we have to say yes to. As a Lutheran pastor, I first have to defend the typist and say he answered correctly. It's completely right to answer someone if they ask, "Are you born again?" to say, "Yes, I'm baptized." Because that font is where the promise happens. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The first and second parts of Luther's small catechism on baptism make that part clear. What is baptism, he asks? Baptism is not simple water only, but it's the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. What benefits does baptism give? It works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from sin, death, and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. And then he asks, what are these words and promises? Christ says in Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Being born of water and the Spirit go together. as much as Pentecostal preachers might want to separate them, they are not separate. That thought is the gift of salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. That thought is a place, a sacrament, where God has bound himself. The word and promises of God are in that blood. But at the same time that we have to affirm the typist's good catechism answer, we have to agree with the yokel's assertion that it's not the same thing. But the yokel and the preacher recognize in the college typist's answer is the lack of something. Something, again, that Luther's catechism captures. He asks rather brusquely, like Bernthal, how can water do such great things? And he answers, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts the Word of God in the water. And the fancy theological term that we're actually dancing around here is ex opere operato. It works by itself. Because if baptism worked that way, it would be no different than magic. And I take my hose out here to the road and baptize 50,000 people a day. But we're not practicing magic. Or calling on the Witch of Endor or any shaman. Because baptism is a sacrament, which is where God has bound himself to simple things. But what it does require is faith. It requires that we believe God has done this. And that belief is the work of the Holy Spirit, which has taken residence in us. In that sacrament, in that font, the Spirit tells us to believe that God has done this. That he has saved us. And that faith is what the yokel was trying to get from the typist. Where the correct head answer, there in baptism I have been born again, and the heart answer, this I believe and confess, or maybe nodding to the yokel, this is my witness, where the head and the heart are in agreement. Did you receive the sacrament? Or are you practicing magic? Now, Jesus and Nicodemus are dancing around the same things as that tank yokel and the new guy. Nicodemus intellectually knows that this Jesus is important. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He's seen the signs, but they have not really stirred the heart. Because Jesus gives him a test of the heart. He must be born again. Which is meaningless to Nicodemus. His reply back to Jesus is more the reply of, stop being foolish, teacher. it's not that he doesn't get the metaphor that Jesus is using. It's that the metaphor doesn't make sense to me. I've been a Jew since I was born. I am already a member of the covenant by that birth. And Jesus presses right on that understanding. That which is born of flesh is flesh. If that's your belief, Nicodemus, good luck, but you are leaning on the flesh. And we all know that the flesh fails. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is not looking for a specific DNA chain that says, yep, a descendant of Abraham. God is looking for faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God. And got up and left everything he had ever known for a promise. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, you know that God is with you. You've seen the signs. You mentally register it. You've surely heard the witness of John the Baptist about the anointing in the Spirit. That Spirit is blowing right now, Nicodemus. It's in your hearing. No one has ascended to heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, the one who stands before you. Nicodemus, you know this in your head. Know it in your heart. Have faith. Have faith in what you know. That God is working in the Son of Man. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, when you see that cross, know that God is still working there. Just like Moses and the bronze serpent. That cross, which the Son of Man hangs on, is the salvation for all who see. Now the last words of Nicodemus recorded are, how can these things be? I also want you to notice that these words come midway through the story. We don't know from this text about Nicodemus' final response. But it expresses wonderment at the Spirit blowing where it will. Nicodemus thought these things were settled in the covenant of Israel. And what he's hearing from Jesus challenges his conception of who God is. Is God not faithful? Is he not the God who is abounding in steadfast love? Jesus, what you are saying seems to be that God might not be faithful. No, Nicodemus. God is more faithful than you are imagining. God does not just love Israel. His steadfast love is not just on one small sliver of the vast number of humanity. the steadfast love of God is for his creation, is for the world, the entire cosmos, and he is. God is not abandoning his covenant. He's enlarging. He's fulfilling. That whoever believes should not perish. What is of the flesh perishes. What is of the spirit is life. And the Son of Man is present to give you life. God sent his Son not to condemn everyone and everything, but that everyone and everything might be saved. Nicodemus, which God do you have faith in? The God who would condemn almost everybody, or the God who desires all to be saved? Nicodemus, do you see how the Spirit is working? Taking the dead flesh of earth and offering it eternal life. Do you see the steadfast love of God? And through Nicodemus, he's asking us the same thing. Are you born again? Do you believe that God is a God of steadfast love? Do you believe that that cross is the work of God and his steadfast love for salvation? Do you believe that this steadfast love is for all mankind? Whoever looks shall be saved. Do you believe that God has promised you this and given it to you in that form? Are you born again?